On this week's episode, we learn how to spell citizen with the Departed. Is Jack Nicholson just playing himself in every movie now? In this house, do we love Leo? And is Marky Mark the best performance in this film? Find out now. You're listening to 24 Flames Per Second. Another episode, 24 Flames Per Second. As always, I'm your host, Robert Spiewak. Welcome to the podcast that roasts the films we love the most. And this week, to celebrate Once Upon a Time in Hollywood coming out, we're looking at the last time I could find where Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio overlapped in any way at all. And so we're talking about The Departed, where Brad Pitt produced it and Leo was in it. But yeah, it's good enough, close enough, it doesn't matter. But yeah, with that movie coming out this week, we're really excited to look at one of these Martin Scorsese's movie, 2006. A couple of just like housekeeping before we get into the show. When you're hearing this, is the week it comes out. Next week, on Tuesday, the 30th, here in Seattle, the Northwest Film Forum, some other Party Fish shows are partnering with Shifties, which is another Seattle podcast, to put on like a big old live show at the Northwest Film Forum. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of things to win if you're there in the audience. Everyone's giving away a bunch of shit at it, and it should be really good. I'll be there playing in Say the D8, and a bunch of other folks that you've heard on the show before will also be around. So if you're in Seattle, come on down. We'd love to see you, and it'll be fun regardless. I think that's it. Let's see. What are we? This is the middle of July still? Yeah, that's all that's going on, everybody. But without any further ado, let's get on to the show. Across the table from me this week, the Colin to my Frank, Katie Bennett.
Hello. I wish you had said the mole to my rat.
But could have done it.
That's fine. Hi, well, hello.
Would you rather be a mole or a rat? Figuratively or literally?
Literally, I think I'd rather be a rat because moles can't see.
Oh, okay.
And it works for them because they're designed to not see, but I would just prefer. So also, rats get pizza. We were just talking about this earlier.
The rats get pizza rat. If they're lucky enough to be chosen.
Anyways. Yeah, I'm good. Things are good.
Mm-hmm. It's good to have you here. Did you watch the movie this week?
I didn't watch it this week, but I've seen it several times, and so I think it's like burned into my memory.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you bring any fun facts about The Departed this week?
The most shocking fact to me was that almost 50% of the 50% of the budget went to just paying all the actors because there were so many way overpaid actors. And another one is that it almost starred Robert De Niro.
As Frank.
Oh. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the big... Oh, yeah. So it was roughly 50% of The Departed's $90 million budget went to the actor's salary.
Wowie zowie.
Also, even though it takes place in Boston, most of it was shot in New York because of tax incentives.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Ain't that the story these days?
That's all I got, though.
Everyone's shooting in Atlanta. Okay, but great, very good. What do you say we get on into the panels? I don't know. I don't want to beat around the bush anymore. let's start with the roasters. On the roasted panel this week, filmmaker, political activist. Find him on Twitter, True Cody Olson. You guessed it, Cody Olson.
Hey, guys.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good. Just got back from San Diego Comic-Con last night, so kind of still like riding the geek high from that. I slept 12 hours also afterwards.
Nice.
So that was, if that gives any indication of just the sort of madness, good madness, like really fun, but the madness of Comic-Con. I woke up and checked my phone thinking it was going to be like 9 a.m. or something. It was 1 p.m. So,
great.
Yeah, really glad I told work that I was going to do a half day today. So
yes.
It was much needed.
At least you planned ahead.
Yeah.
But yeah, good. It's good to have you here.
Yeah.
And next to him, Seattle cinephile, find her on Instagram, XanderC33, is Alexander Calero.
Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Mm-hmm.
I've been you know, kind of in honor of the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, I decided to read The Right Stuff, the Tom Wolfe book about the guys who were the first kind of American, the Mercury 7. They're all fucking crazy. That's what I've decided. They're all crazy.
I don't know anything about that.
I
believe you. What'd they do? They shot him into space in the thing or something?
Yeah, so okay. these are the guys that agreed to be like strapped to rockets and shot into space before anybody had ever really tested it.
Nice.
And they're all test pilots originally, but still the whole industry just seems like you need a certain level of insanity to be willing to participate in.
Sure, because the next thing is the least safe thing, you know, they've done yet.
Yep.
Wow. This movie has nothing to do with space.
Nope.
but that's okay. But yeah, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And on the defense this week, Seattle stand-up comedian and host of the podcast The Roll Up. Find her on social media at Alyssa Yeo. Alyssa Yeoman.
Hi,
how's it going?
It's going pretty good. Just enjoying the summer. Mm. Putting my body through the ringer, landscaping during the day. So, yeah, and I'm here.
Nice. But yeah, you know how it goes. We'll start a movie in a minute. It's good. Oh, it's good to have you here also.
Yeah.
Jumping in. I feel like I'm in such a hurry today. I don't know why. In Boston, they're just go.
Yeah. No stopping in Boston. That's my Boston accent. Boston.
But movie in a minute. We'll give you a three count, and then you got 60 seconds to give us the full plot synopsis of The Departed. Spoilers and all.
Okay.
I'm very bad at a Boston accent.
Spoilers was pretty good, though. The way you said that was pretty solid.
I feel like I'm doing New Jersey.
Fucking your mother.
So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okie dokie. Let's do it. In 3, 2. Oh, you don't get your notes also.
Okay.
In 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so we're in South Boston. We got two cops. They're both undercover. One trained by the cops, one trained by the mob. And everybody's like, okay, we're going to get this mob guy, Costello. He's got weapons. And then Costello's like, oh, evaded him again. And they're like, oh, shit, there's a mole. Who's the mole? There's a mole on both sides, or a rat, depending. There's a mole on the cop side, a rat on the mob side, depending on where you stand. And then they're like, okay, DiCaprio's like, oh, who is it? And Damon's like, who is it? And they like don't see each other's faces, but then everything starts to unravel. Also, they're fucking the same woman. Just adding that in there. I don't know, just something to throw into this web. And then they're like, okay, I think it's this guy. They come into a shootout. Big guy Mark Wahlberg is like, the shootout. And they're like, you're fired. Or at least he's like, well, just take a break. He's like, I'm resigning because I'm not working with that mole, Sullivan, which is Matt Damon. And you're like, who? Does he know something? But he did.
And you're out of time.
You are doing great, though.
Oh, thanks. That was, yeah, for how long the movie is.
Yeah.
My notes are a mess. I have no idea where we're actually at. It's all like, he's following him, and he sees him.
Yeah. I was trying to read the Wikipedia summary today, and I was just like, how are they going to do movie in a minute? Like,
when do you just accept that it's not going to happen?
Yeah. The last scene alone is like, how do you explain that in a minute?
Yeah.
So, did you make it to the porn theater?
Yeah. I think I did.
Okay, so they're chasing each other, and Matt Damon thinks he knows who Leo is, or vice versa. I don't know who's suspicious of who yet. Anyways, it all kind of culminates in this. There's this big coke deal at this construction site, and everyone's got tails on each other. I put tails on tails, is what everyone
just tails on tails.
But anyways, Does Frank turn out to be an informant? No.
Yes. FBI informant.
Okay, good. So I wasn't lying to myself. I put Frank equals FBI. Yeah.
Frank is the FBI.
And then right after that it says equals dead because he gets shot.
Yeah, he gets real dead.
Yeah. And then finally Colin and Billy meet because Billy is off he's done now. So he has to come and like get his life back or whatever. And Colin Matt Damon's character is like, I'm not gonna do that for you, and it's shitty and horrible. And there's an envelope of it was money they were gonna pay each other with.
No, it was Social Security.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Because they had to fill out their thing. Yeah, when they
go and it had like a misspelling, right? Was that
what it was? There was something that was crossed out and rewritten. Yeah, because the guy couldn't spell citizen or whatever.
Citizen is it?
Yeah. And so anyways, Leo sees this in Colin's office and knows everything now. He knows that he's the mole, yeah. Or the rat. The rat?
They're both.
They're interchangeable.
It's interchangeable. The police call it a mole, but then the mob, it's a rat.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody's a rodent.
Yes.
Of some sort.
Anyways, Leo starts hooking up with that girl. That Matt and Damon was hooking up with, and she starts hooking up with him. And then, what's going on here? Frank Tape. This is so horrible. I need to get better at taking these notes. All my notes are just quotes.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is useless.
Is there a tape of a phone call?
Yeah, that's at the end, though. That's closer to the end. That's a CD.
The tape that he gives. Yeah. He gives a CD to... Her therapist.
And she plays it in the boombox for Matt Damon in the large wall sized boombox.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyways, they're going to go meet on this rooftop. I don't remember how they decide on that.
I don't either.
Because it's the place where Queen Anne died.
Right. Where Martin Sheen got thrown off the roof. Yeah. Okay. And then pretty much he brings. No. Colin's the only one that gets out alive. Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Because he kills... No. They're going to beat each other up. Leo gets the best of him. They go down the elevator. He's got people there to shoot everybody. And then he shoots everybody else. And then he goes back to his apartment. And Marky Mark is there in slippers and gloves and a hoodie.
Killing.
And he shoots him.
Well, he goes to Leo's funeral first. Gets the cold shoulder from the...
And sees the lady. Crying.
Because she knows he's bad. Yeah. That's the whole movie. Anyway, everyone kills everybody else. Yeah. Marky Mark's the only one that gets out.
And then a literal rat runs across the screen.
In case you didn't know.
Yeah.
Never forget. Okay. So that's the movie.
You did it. Hopefully you've seen the movie if you're listening to this. Because otherwise...
Please watch the movie before.
we're going to take... Alyssa, we're going to take a quick break. And we come back, we'll do your opening statements, and then we'll get on with the rest of the whole thing. So, everybody, we will be right back.
Tuesday. Get ready, Seattle, for the biggest live podcast event of the year. This July 30th, Northwest Film Forum is going to explode. Not one, not two, but three local podcasts go head-to-head. Funhouse Family, Save the D8, Shifties. This awesome mind-twisting action from 7 to 11 p.m. Watch as the Funhouse family discusses the local art scene. See the Save the DA crew improv a D&D story that you'll never forget. And stare as the Shifties regale the masses with how tough it is to be in the workforce. Plus, all those with the best handmade name tags will win awesome prizes. Watch them all battle it out under one roof. Northwest Film Forum, July 30th from 7 to 11. We'll sell you the whole seat, but you'll only need the urge.
And we're back, everybody. Welcome back to the Departed episode. Melissa Yeoman did a pretty good job of moving in a minute, did not get through it. let's get your opening statements. Why are you here defending the Departed?
Great movie. Tangle-webbed, emotional. There's, like, father figures, who's who. I think the whole, like, the cops in this movie... One, I love Boston accents. Sorry, let me backtrack. The whole Boston... Everybody's great. They got people who are from Boston. It's wonderful. There's, like, some funny moments. You're like, I can't trust anybody. Then at some point, you kind of feel for everybody at one point or another in the film. Everybody's acting their ass off. I mean, the cast alone is like enough to be like, this is a stand-up movie. And then the end is so gratifying. You're like, yeah, okay, yes, everybody deserves to die. And everybody is a rat. So, yeah, I think it's pretty flawless. I think it's, and Minnie will say this too, it's like the movie of the decade for him, as he had like Raging Bull before that and Taxi Driver. And yeah, I think it was just like right along line when Scorsese was really like killing the game still and making great movies. Yeah, I think it's a good character portrayal of every person in it.
Ooh, let's start with the characters. Roasters.
Oh boy.
Because there's a lot.
I believe the quote before we started was, everyone is an asshole.
Yes. Yes, thank you. That was, yeah, so everybody is an asshole. But it's not, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, you and I are both on the same page of that. Yeah. As like, everybody's an asshole, so it's like, am I really supposed to root for anybody in this? Because even the characters that are supposed to be likable do unlikable things that you would have higher expectations for them. You know, so it's hard to always connect with the character. It's like, even the therapist, you're like, well, she's an outsider in this. We should be able to sympathize with her and be like, okay, at least she's good. She sucks at her job. I mean, so I don't know about the... Yeah, I mean, I fall back on everybody's an asshole, so it's kind of hard to be like, these are great characters.
Yeah, I think, so for me, so like Leo's character particularly, so I think he's in many ways a hero in that he sacrifices like his own happiness. I'm not even talking about his death, but just like, even up until that point, he sacrifices essentially his own life and happiness to go undercover and try to take down a really bad dude. And so on its face, it's like, oh man, that sounds like exactly my type of guy that I would want to root for. But he's so strung out and he's just like so on edge that it kind of just ends up frustrating me the whole movie. That like, in terms of the macro actions he does, he's heroic. But then in terms of his smaller interactions with like the therapist, where he's like, I'm gonna go blow my brains out. And you're like, dude, I get you're under stress. But you're just like screaming at this person who's like, what is happening right now? And so, I don't know. I think, I don't even know if I like Leo's performance in this very much. I think he takes it to this level where he more frustrates me than endears himself to me.
I think the whole everybody is an asshole thing. I mean, this was the beginning of time, or the beginning of time, I'm sorry. But like, I think this almost kind of started that trend of like, nobody's a hero, right? So it's like, everybody might be an asshole, but it's all based on these like allegiances that they have to other people. So like some of that anxiety and stuff that you're seeing are kind of like, well, there's like a loyalty here. What do you do when there's like family at stake or someone's offered you this thing or this was your dream your whole life type of scenario? So I forgave some of that because I was like, here, this kid's recruited like straight out of the academy to do this huge job that in terms he's like, oh yes, this is a dream, right? So
Yeah, that's fair. I think I just maybe wanted some of the minute-to-minute interactions to more reflect the choices I feel like the character was making. Because again, I feel like he takes on these really selfless choices, like speaking to Leo's character.
Right.
But then in each individual scene, it's pretty much him freaking out on somebody. And that's pretty much it. That's for the most part what I gleaned from it. And so I guess I maybe wanted some more scenes of people working together or something like that. There's I think two positive sentences that Mark Wahlberg says to Leo in this. There's one after that insane interview where he's like, you're nothing, and Martin Sheen's character just kind of sits there. But at the very end of it, Mark Wahlberg goes, we need you, kid. And he says it really softly. But there's something about that that I'm like, I want to see more of that, because these two people who are like under a lot of stress but kind of trusting each other, I feel like we don't get much of it. We just get them screaming at each other a lot. And I'm kind of like, it's, I don't know, I think it's gratifying to watch people being a team and being a unit. And then I just don't get that anywhere. So I'm like, I don't know, what do I latch onto here?
Yeah, I would follow that up with like the whole idea of pulling him out of the academy because he grew up, you know, in on the South Side, you know, and he's been pretending to be this rich kid or however, I can't remember, maybe it was the pretending to be a South Side kid. The idea that he was never going to really make it through the academy because he's too smart and he doesn't belong there, and you know, you're the kind of person that becomes a politician or whatever. Like, okay, do you do a psych eval in there as well? Because it seems like, you know, they picked this guy because he had the right name and the right, you know, attitude. And then all of a sudden, they have this guy who they can't even have a meeting with without him going, I'm done. This is crazy. And it's like, you've been talking to the guy for 20 minutes. You know, you, like, I understand that he's this big, bad gangster, and but you knew that going in. So it kind of makes me wonder, like, how unstable he might have been before they even threw him into the situation.
Yep.
And it makes me question, it kind of goes to what I was talking about earlier, before we started, of everybody's bad at their job.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I feel like you're going to do that kind of background check on somebody. You're also going to look at a psyche valley and go, this guy does not have what it takes to take the pressure of being undercover.
Yeah. And I think, so there's one scene specifically that I think highlights this really well. And it's that, so Leo's meeting with Martin Sheen's character and Mark Wahlberg, like under a bridge. And so first Leo says, man, it's been a year. I'm leading this double life. First, I don't really feel like it's been a year. I maybe wanted to see that a little more to maybe understand his, like, mental state. But he says it's been a year. He's obviously, like, the only two people in the world who know his true life. He's talking to them right now. And what does Mark Wahlberg get him? Mark Wahlberg's like, hey, maybe we throw away your file right now and you're just a criminal for life. And it's like, and then Leo freaks out on him and you're like, Mark, Leo's freaking out. I understand why. Like, Mark Wahlberg, you can't take 2 seconds to just calm this guy down and be like, hey, man, we're in this together. Like, I just want to see them being a team for 2 goddamn seconds of my life. That's all that I want.
But I think ultimately it's like this real portrayal of everybody being after something for themselves. Even if Leo believes it's like being selfless, there's something that he's gaining, whether that's redeeming his reputation or whatever. It's like, I think that's what it's ultimately about and saying. And even when you're like, oh, maybe they're a team, you're like, no, everybody's just trying to get that award. Everybody's trying to catch that person. Everybody's trying to move up in the ranks. And it like kind of shows that real, I don't know, that real quote, I'm air quoting, corruptness of like this cops, right? Cops and bad guys, and like the line between a cop and a bad guy being so close.
Yeah. They're like, okay, there's a line in this film that I feel like got played a lot in the marketing, and it's when Jack Nicholson's like, you can be a cop or a criminal when you're staring down the barrel of a loaded gun. What's the difference? You know what I mean? And it sounds great, but there's also a part of me that's like, screw you, what's the difference? Like, you know, what one person has dedicated their life to making the world better, one person is stealing for their own gain. I'm like, there's a huge difference. Like, that's reductive as hell, but fine, it's a good quote. Well, that's random.
Speaking of Jack Nicholson, how do we feel about his role as a villain? I wrote down Jack Nicholson is Jack Nicholson based on our discussion earlier before we started.
It doesn't feel like a fully developed character. It feels like they went, hey, Jack Nicholson, we want you to play this mobster. Do whatever the fuck you like as long as you say these lines at these moments. So that was my problem with him, because it didn't feel like, it just felt like him being kind of this caricature of every other kind of weird asshole-y bad guy that he's played at any other point in his career. It's like, let him just do his own thing and we'll shoot around that and make it work. I mean, hell, they shot him in the shadows for the first like 20 minutes of the movie because you didn't want to see that he doesn't age, or, you know, he's too old, you know, when he's talking to Colin as a kid, but he's in, so he's the same age.
I loved him as the villain. I thought I was just like, maybe I stand for Jack Nicholson, so that is probably part of it. But I was like, he has that perfect line between like kind of crazed, you're scared of him. Maybe that scene where they're like talking about lies, and you know, that, I think it's the one from the, and he's spinning the gun around, and you're just like, you're kind of terrified. And you're like, I guess he could get my loyalty with those wild eyes, you know? And anyway.
Yeah, the rat impression that he does.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, I believed he was a mob boss, you know?
I don't know. Maybe it's because I can only think of the scene where he's in the convenience store or anything. He just comes off as really pervy to me. Like, when he asks the girl, he's like, how old are you? Have you gotten your period yet? It's like,
he's certainly pervy.
Yeah.
What does he say? He throws the cocaine on those... people in his leg, just inhale until you can't move anymore or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. He says,
don't come up until you're numb or something like that. Yeah.
I totally forgot.
That scene is bananas.
We're talking about like the cocaine orgy scene.
Yes.
So I think the first time I watched this movie was probably like on FX when I was not a kid, but a teenager. And so the first time I for real watched it and I got to see a little more of that scene, I was pretty taken aback.
Yeah.
I think they kind of cut around it pretty seamlessly in the film. Right. Like, there's not a whole lot of plot there. So when it happens on the DVD, I was like, whoa, what did I miss the first time around?
That scene didn't forward the storyline for you? Okay. You did a lot for me.
Look, it seemed like FX felt like they could, you know, pass right by it and it was going to be okay.
I just kept thinking, how much money did he just waste by throwing all that cocaine into the air? But it's fine.
Wow. We know what you're taking. Yeah,
these are the things that my brain does.
Yeah.
Well, what about just like the acting in general? So like you were talking about how amazing the acting was. I think maybe there were some thoughts about some of the acting here. So let's chat about it. Let's dig into it.
Yeah.
I thought everybody was great. I mean, it's a cast that, in my opinion, I was like, you can't really go wrong acting-wise. And I thought everybody was a good fit for it, but I think you might have different opinions. I really liked it.
My feeling re-watching it, so it's not something that I noticed the first time I ever watched it, but re-watching it, I would have thought the weak link in the acting chain would have been Mark Wahlberg. Because up until this movie, he really hadn't made a movie of this caliber. You know, production values, the history of the people involved in the filmmaking, that kind of thing. And to me, the weak link for the acting was Matt Damon. And it showed on screen. He seemed so out of his depth. Like, he knew he had no business being in the same movie as Jack Nicholson and Leonardo DiCaprio. And it felt like he was acting. So whether or not I liked performances from other people or, you know, characters are assholes, he felt like he was reading lines and acting. And it just was like uncomfortable to watch at certain points.
See, I felt like that kind of helped play into the fact that he shouldn't have been there. Like, he shouldn't have been in the police department. He is not who he says he is. And I think that worked well in the bigger picture of the movie for me.
He was pretending as a bad actor.
That's great. Did his Boston accent bother you, or was it just like more broadly the acting?
It was more broadly the acting. There'd be scenes where it felt like something needed to be said more subtly than it was, or his reaction to certain things. So I think about the scene where he and Mark Wahlberg get into it. They're yelling at each other and they have to be restrained, and I can't even remember what he yells, but I felt like the subtitles should have been like, "But I'm an actor too," and it just, because he was yelling about like, I can do what I want or whatever it was, and it just felt so much like telling a 4-year-old who's never made a movie before, never acted before, to be like, "I need you to say this line and I need you to yell it," and then he goes and yells it, and it's like, "Good job." I mean, like.
Are you a Matt Damon fan in other movies?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's good to know. That's good to know.
One specifically, yeah. Is Matt Damon from Boston?
He's from Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Okay, yeah.
Close enough.
I realized right after I asked if you didn't like his accent that I was like, wait, maybe is he the only one in the film who's actually like from Boston?
Yeah, I mean, Mark was great. Yeah. Mark Wahlberg is Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Equals Boston.
Yeah. I guess I sometimes struggle with Boston accents on film because like in this film, I'll have a moment where I can't tell if someone's doing a really good Boston accent or a really bad one. Like if it's over the top, or if it's absolutely perfect. I don't know. But I guess probably pretty good. Because a couple of the lines I was thinking of were from Matt Damon when he says something. But I'm like, wait, he probably knows that voice a lot better than me. So it's probably just a pretty exaggerated voice, I guess.
I think that everybody who hears a Boston accent hears it in the most exaggerated form. Yeah. Like when you think of it and you're not around it. So
yeah.
So. Well, what about how about the direction of the movie? Mm-hmm. Do you think Scorsese biffed it, or did he did he do a good job?
So many opinions erupting so quickly after you ask something. Just starts.
I'm like
eyes.
Triggering people just by asking the question.
Yeah. So I don't think this is Scorsese at his best. It felt to me like he was trying to recapture the glory days of the kind of what he made his bread and butter on, like what we know Scorsese as a filmmaker, specifically when it comes to like mob movies. Mm-hmm. We have a very particular experience with him making mob movies, and it just, there was a lot of like watching it making, you know, feeling like, please stop telling me and just show me. The directing felt very heavy-handed in certain scenes. Mm. Where it's like, I think that you could have conveyed that without the glaringly obvious. So I think about that last scene after Matt Damon is killed and the rat runs across the balcony, and it's like, you are so much better than this, Scorsese. Like, come on, right? You are so much better. And I cannot watch that scene without thinking of The Simpsons and Ralph going, the rat symbolizes obviousness.
Have you heard about the Kickstarter to erase the rat from the final?
No.
It's kind of a joke, but it's like some sort of like film critics online or something like that, who are film fans, who are like, hey, this movie is really good. It's almost perfect. The
Except
only
for
thing
the fucking rat.
This final shot is too goddamn obvious. And so I believe it's like a Kickstarter to digitally erase it from the final shot and re-release it.
Wow.
I swear to God.
Somebody should just do it. Like, what do you need the money for? Like,
I think the directing made like the conversations and the webs that people were tangling. I felt dynamic to me. This was my introduction, and then I went back and watched what he had made earlier. Because I mean, this came out in what, 2006, 2005.
Yeah.
So this was like, you know, I'm like graduating high school. I'm like, whoa, this is a crazy movie. Let's go back and see all this. I also read that the rat isn't necessarily supposed to be a verbatim, like, here's what this means. It's actually like an ode to like other mob movies and some other things from the past that he didn't even make, so he says. But so maybe it's just like, maybe that's how we the viewer interpret it, but I don't think that was his intention.
Got it. Are there any other movies specifically that have like a rat in the final shot? I'm just curious how
so
much of like a
I think he said something about a movie. Hopefully I can remember the name. I think it was something like a Little Caesar, something Caesar movie. Mm. It's like to two older like mob crime movies.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that he was like, I don't know if it's they use the rat in general in that, but that's what that was supposed to be for, not saying like, wow, everybody is a rat.
Yeah, that reads something from like the 20s or 30s.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it definitely comes off as something you would have seen in like the James Cagney mobster movies of that era, yeah.
Hmm. So, but of course if you do that at the end of that, after we've seen the whole movie, I think the viewer's like, okay, we get it, right? But so,
don't forget.
And he did like other things in the movie.
He was a rat.
I think he did some interesting things in the movie too. Like every time before someone's about to be killed, there's the X that's supposed to be, Scarface, I know, was one of the movies the rat was supposed to be owed to. But like they do the X either behind their head or in the scene, and you know that person is about to get killed. So
yeah, I just found out that today.
Yeah, and I thought that was really cool. On the phone, on the carpet, when Matt Damon walks in the elevator. So I think it was like supposed to be these little like, ooh, to these mob movies.
Yeah, sure.
But obviously, 2.5 hours later, you're like, we get it. So.
Hmm. I didn't know that.
Speaking of the ending.
Yes.
How do we feel about the ending?
Yeah. The twist of.
So there's the Matt Leo rooftop.
Yeah.
Part of the ending, because this it's all kind of falling action, sort
sure,
of
the third act. Finale.
Yeah, yeah. And then Mark Wahlberg at the end.
Yeah, well, so for me, the twist of Leo dying, you know, before the film's over, essentially when it seems like it's barreling towards one climax, but it kind of does something different. That disappointed me a lot, and and I've been like thinking about it because I don't want to be one of those people online who's just like, they did something different than what I thought, you know, like. That's what I'm mad about. It. But
no, it says, in this house, we love Leo.
What? What?
No, no.
Here's what I was thinking, though. I was comparing this to Snoke's death in The Last Jedi.
Okay.
And I feel like Snoke's death I feel like Snoke's death was an interesting subversion because looking at The Force Awakens, they realized the more interesting villain is Kylo Ren. And we're going to jettison some fat here. We're going to essentially cut through, both literally and figuratively, this other villain who's not as interesting. And so that's like a subversion, I think, that makes the film better. But then for me, Leo dying it doesn't make the film better because I think you've had these two characters who have been enemies for the whole film, but they haven't met, which is kind of interesting. They've known about each other. They've known that there's a mole on each side and they've impacted each other's lives, but they haven't been able to have the full-on confrontation that I think the film was building towards. And so then now when you finally have it, like everything's been stripped away, they know who each other is. Then you kill Leo. And for me, it felt deflating rather than exciting. It didn't feel like, oh, now I don't know where this is going. It was more like, I don't care where this is going.
Something was taken away from me.
Yes, exactly. That's how I felt about it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just like a butthurt internet troll. But it felt... Every time I watch it, I am honestly really into that scene. And I'm like, this is... like a lot has happened in this film. And then he dies. And I'm just kind of like, all right. Cool, I guess. Let's just get to the end.
I love the ending. I mean, before I went back and rewatched it, that was the part I so vividly remember.
You want that part? You like that part?
I do, because it reminds me, one, of that meme where Spider-Man shows up to the other Spider-Man, and they're like, what? And it's just like this, there's something, and you're like, none of it matters, and everybody's just like, bang, 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 and you're like, wow. I guess none of that mattered,
it
right?
Didn't
after
matter.
You're just like, and I love that just being taken away from me at the end where you're like, who's it gonna be? Who deserves what? And then you're just like, just kidding. And then it feels a little bit victorious for Mark Wahlberg's character. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, cool. He comes in and you're like, well, all right, I guess I'll just eat my bagels now. you know, take them off the floor. I just remember being not expecting that to come at all when I originally watched it. And then when I watched it again and just, I was like, wow, I really, something about the scene just sticks in your head. And I think whether or not it was what I would want, I was like, I remember it so vividly. So I think that speaks to something for me.
That's fair. I do remember it vividly too. But I also don't it is a moment for sure. It disappoints me. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the movie does set up a certain expectation of who's going to be victorious, and so it does subvert those expectations. But I would say it is all a little bit disappointing just because you root for the good guys, and we know that Leo is the good guy, so it kind of stings to be like he doesn't get to be victorious in any way.
Right.
You know, sure, he's found the mole, or the rat, or whatever we're calling him, but he's found Matt Damon. But the problem is, he gets no victory in that. You know, you could argue, yeah, he gets the moral victory, but he doesn't even get to reclaim any of his life. He doesn't get to stand up to anybody who was like, clearly he washed out of the academy. You know, the people who don't know the circumstances around why he is now hanging out with Jack Nicholson all the time, to be able to say, hey, looks like I'm not an asshole. I saw the movie in theaters, so like opening weekend in theaters, and I remember sitting in the theater and that scene happened and I burst out laughing because it caught me by surprise. I did not see it coming.
Yeah, okay,
and I'm like, I'm not sure how I'm supposed to react, and so this is how I'm going to react.
Right.
I
guess it also, for me, I kind of forgot about how it played out for a second, but it's like the logistics of it is that there has been a second mole the whole time.
Right.
And so I guess it also, simultaneously, while for me it's taking away this confrontation that I wanted to see play out by taking Leo off the board, I think it also kind of diminishes the rest of the film, where one mole being in the police department is a big deal and has created all this chaos, right? And then, so to me, it's weird that they're just like, JK, there's a second mole the whole time.
Yeah.
And then the guy gets killed 2 seconds later, and you just feel like, this was just this plot twist just because you wanted to kill Leo in some way and set it up. And then you also dispose of the plot twist that quickly. It's just like, I don't know. I felt like, I'm trying to think of a good analogy. I felt like I'd just been, I don't know, like used or something. Like I felt unclean after that moment. I was like, Oh, this was, I feel cheap. I don't know. You know, there's
we all became the rat in that moment. We all became the mole. We're all just like, oh, this is, yeah. I think them throwing in the last, like, oh, you think there's only one guy? That part you're like, but then he dies immediately. You're like, okay, I guess that he wasn't too important of a guy.
It's just like a bunch of stuff happened that didn't matter. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel. I'm like, I was trying to be invested.
Leo's somewhat still victorious because, like, Sylvan went back and erased all that just to try to, like, claim his name. He had the opportunity, too, to, like, mercy kill him in the elevator.
Yeah.
Then, I don't know. And you're like, oh, you think, I don't know. I like the ending. I just think it's good. I think I did react when I first saw it. And I think that's what made it so good to me because I was just like, wow, okay. Yeah. That was 2 hours of my life, you know? So
I also don't know how the shot goes off like that. I feel like even... Sorry, I'm harping on this scene a lot. No. But, you know, Leo dies the second the elevator comes open.
It's like... Psh, head.
Yeah, I guess... I don't know. I guess I just don't know how the guy, you know, the second mole is like, okay, I'm going to help him out in some way. How he's, the elevator door's been open for like a quarter of a second, and how he like has a clean enough shot that he's like, I know that's Leo, I'm taking a shot. That he doesn't like hide somewhere and be like, okay, that's Leo, I'm gonna shoot him. It just like the logistics of the scene, the geography doesn't make sense to me.
And the elevator stays open for a really long time while he's getting the handcuffs off long enough for the other guy to swoop around.
I thought his body fell into the doorway.
And it's kind of comical. And then you're like, okay.
I think that's, I mean, I would say that's probably one of my other complaints is that for a movie that should be fairly serious about the mob and moles and rats and whatnot, it's like really heavy-handed with the comedy.
Yeah.
And you know, Scorsese in his other movies has had comedy, but it's more like circumstantial or, you know, an offhand comment that somebody makes. You're like, huh. You know, I think about the scene in Goodfellas where Joe Pesci, you know, gives his whole, you know, what am I here to amuse you? Yeah. I mean, that's funny, but at the same time, it's not funny because you're like, this guy is fucking crazy. So with this, you're like, actively laughing at things that were written. I mean, like, they're written jokes versus, like, I want you to say this in this way. I want you to behave in this way. I mean, you know, I think about one of the many times Leo is freaking out about how he can't keep doing this. And he's like, he's gonna chop me up and feed me to the poor.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's a hilarious line, but it's, like, also takes away some of the gravitas of everything that is happening in the movie.
I think that's what kind of helps keep you, for me, it helps keep me kind of like engaged while all of this stuff was being weaved together. Like, I love that scene when Wahlberg comes in and they have him and Alec Baldwin have that quick exchange about who's fucking who and like the mother, you know? Then he leaves and he's like, he's usually very nice. Like, it's just like kind of this fun, I don't know, I think it added something for me. And I was like, okay, this is like keeping me going, so.
I have a working theory that Alec Baldwin's line, he's really very nice, was improv, because in the scene, in the movie, nobody's chuckling, but Alec Baldwin says that, and, like, before they cut away, you start to hear, I think, kind of a lot of laughter in the background, and I swear, that was him throwing an extra thing out, and, like, all the actors laughing.
Yeah. Alec, forever.
We've about to reach... Time to unmask, y'all. It's a harder sentence Words. To get through than I thought it would be. We about reached time to unmask. Let's talk about how we really feel, starting with you, Alyssa.
I hate this movie.
You really?
I really don't like this movie.
Whoa! You convinced me.
It's so long, and it is so not worth it. I do not like this movie.
I'm genuinely surprised.
I'm actually surprised.
I was like, when I was like going to rewatch it, I was like, I hadn't watched it since I watched it the first time because I saw it, and I was like, I never have to see this movie again. And then I went to rewatch it, and I was like, oh, this is why I never had to see this movie again. And I was just like... Yeah.
That's bananas.
Yeah, so I do not like this movie.
I'm shook right now.
Good. I'm glad I was so like surprised. I was just trying to sell it so hard.
You sold it very well.
What?
Oh my goodness. Hang on. I'm going to the top of our thing to look what side you're on.
This is Thor all over again, man.
She was in either side. She was in either side originally. Yeah,
just to kind of test my limits.
I was ready to be like, why did you sign up to defend that?
Yeah, so I just wanted to
Wow.
Wow.
I don't like the movie. And the last scene is really dumb. It's a lot. And it's just like 2 hours and 2 hours and 30 minutes. I was like, this is so way too long. And then like the one woman is fucking everybody. I was like, God, I cannot stand this.
Do you like Leo's death actually? Or because you just defended that in like some, you know, pretty emphatic terms. And I'm just curious.
I did like it for the fact that you like kind of laugh, but it was just like, it's just
felt
the whole movie. I was just like, the end, I was like, okay, cool. And then I was like, it wasn't worth the rest of it.
Alexandra?
I'm a fan.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
I'm a huge Scorsese fan. I saw this movie, like I said, I saw it in theaters. I think I saw it twice or three times the same weekend.
Wow.
Because I was like, I took people. Because I was working at a movie theater at the time. I got free movies. I'm like, oh my God, you got to come see this movie. Right. Wow, this is great. It is way too long. It is incredibly problematic. And yet, I enjoy it. I enjoy it for basically all the things that you were defending before. Like, she's so right.
She's so funny. I'm going to say the same thing about y'all.
Oh my God.
Like,
yeah, you're right. So it's enjoyable kind of, you know, not whodunit, because we know whodunit. It's like, how do they get away with this? How do they get out of this? How do they, you know, they've all dug themselves these holes. Right. How do they figure out how to get out of them? And just watching everybody kind of try and figure that out and keep themselves alive, but also do their job, albeit poorly.
You know? Let's get one thing straight. Everyone is bad at their
jobs. Yes. Terrible at their jobs. It's still really kind of this fascinating thing to me to watch. And I am a Matt Damon fan.
Did you like his acting in this?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay.
You know, the accent is fine, but it really did kind of feel like he was out of his depth. And maybe, like you were saying, maybe that is all about him, like, pretending to be out of his depth because of that. And it just, I don't know. I like it.
Cody?
That's funny. So everything I said about the film is true in terms of, I do think they fight too much. I think Mark Wahlberg's character, I don't understand why he's always coming at Leo like that. I also don't like Leo's death. That said, I do like the film. I think I have those problems with it, but
full flip.
Yeah, it's an enjoyable film. I think it's like the plot, how the machinations play out, the fact that there are these two people who are enemies but have never met for most of the film. All that is way too compelling, and I can't deny that is super interesting to watch. It's actually a film that, weirdly, if I'm kind of bored at work, I'll bring up like a clip from it or something like that. But that said, I do, each time I watch it, I'll both enjoy it, but then also lament when Mark Wahlberg or Leonardo DiCaprio are just freaking out. I just want people to take a breath, and I want to be a little more invested in the hero.
Yeah.
But it's also super interesting, so.
Yeah. I love other Scorsese films. This is just not one of them. Yeah. God. Yeah, that's great.
Thor. Yeah. This is a Thor scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Katie, what do you think?
I have mixed feelings about this movie. I think in general I like it, and I recognize that it's good. And something about it's like one of those movies that I probably wouldn't sit down just to watch for funsies, but like if it's on TV, I'm fucking watching it. Like I'm putting it on. Something about it is so charming to me. Like, and it probably is like the Boston accents are just very enjoyable to me. I've never spent a lot of time in Boston or around people from Boston, so it's just like I like to hear it. And a lot of the like quips and one-liners in the movie are very funny. So like. Also, I love Leo and Jack Nicholson, like all of them. Just something about it is very charming to me, even though it does have a lot of problems and it's way too long. Yeah, so sure. I think everybody should see it at least once, but it's not like the best movie ever.
Yeah. I agree it's too long. But at the same time, I think it's really good in the way it like kind of thoroughly confuses you all the way to the end. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you heard it in the movie in a minute. Like, I couldn't even keep...
Yeah.
I was sitting there watching, writing plot beats, and I couldn't even keep it straight. And so, like, I think that there's something, like, kind of admirable about the rat's nest that is, like, the plot of the movie.
Yeah.
That, I mean, the way out of it is everyone just gets killed. But, like, I think that it managing to... like all actually makes sense, but be confusing. Like it rewards the repeat viewer, and then at the end, like still be like very surprising too. I think is cool.
Yeah.
It's an intricately plotted film.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and that's the other thing is you have a, if you oversimplify the plot of cop goes undercover with the mob,
yeah.
and there's a mob person in the cops,
yeah.
and we as the audience are presented that information from the get-go, you think this is going to be a really simple, kind yeah. of boring, you know, like, it's obvious.
Yeah.
Like, we know who everybody is. What's the point of this? But then by turning it into that rat's nest, you're like, mm-hmm. we don't know how this is going to actually yeah. play out.
Right. Well, and it's like there are simple motivations in terms of there's a pretty clear distinction. There's two sides. Each of one has kind of a leg up on the other, or so they think, and watching how they mess with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but the specific ways that they mess with each other are necessarily complicated mm-hmm. in some interesting ways. So yeah, it's, like I said, I think the plot of this film is undeniably pretty awesome. Until Leo gets killed.
Yeah. He's the one. He's the keystone of everything. yeah, I don't know. That's how I feel. I liked it.
Yeah.
I also agree. I'm like probably, I don't know if I'll ever watch it again. Yeah. It's so long. It's a commitment. yeah, that'll do it for The Departed, everybody. What do I say now? We're going to continue talking about this and other things and Martin Scorsese, who knows what, on the extended play, everybody. If you, the heat in this room, like, cooked my brain.
Yeah.
And yeah, so if you want to get that, head over to Patreon, patreon.com/24flamespod. And you can get all the extended plays after most of our episodes now. And hot takes and drink-alongs and a bunch of other fun stuff. And there's more stuff that we haven't even, like, cracked those eggs yet, because they're more money if you want to give more money. Make me watch Zack Snyder movies or something stupid like that.
Don't do that.
I might be financially obligated at some point. God. That's the only reason why.
Is that a level you've put up there?
It's like over $100.
Oh, you did put it up? You were yeah. talking about it.
No, like it's up there. New, it's been right? up there since the beginning.
Oh, has it?
Yeah.
Is yeah. any Zack Snyder film?
Probably, yeah. Probably pick one at random.
Man.
It's going to suck, and I hate it. But yeah, anyways, you can go do that. Make me watch some bullshit. If you have thoughts about The Departed that you want us to hear, you can email us at 24flamespod@gmail.com. You can also find us on social media at 24flamespod. You can find our network, Party Fish Media, at Party Fish Media, on Facebook and Instagram. And yeah, another plug for the show on Tuesday. Come on out and see some live podcasts, the Funhouse Family Podcast, Save the D8, and Shifties, a podcast about the service industry. Which is, it's more entertaining than it sounds. I promise. And yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Come win some stuff. And other than that, wherever you listen to podcasts, rate and subscribe and review so that we can make the show better and more people can find it. And everyone will live happily ever after if you do that. I promise. Yeah, that'll happen.
Cool.
But yeah, everybody, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you all for being here. And we're going to do the extended play, and then we're going to get out of here. And next week, we will catch you for The Shape of Water? Maybe? I think that's what it is. I'm double checking. The Last Airbender. Just kidding. So get hyped for The Last Airbender. Yeah, everybody, we'll catch you next week after that. Or for that. And then later. It's hot in this room. But everybody, we'll catch you next week. Bye-bye. Bye-bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Party Fish Media.
Tuesday. Get ready, Seattle, for the biggest live podcast event of the year. This July 30th, Northwest Film Forum is going to explode. When not one, not two, but three local podcasts go head-to-head. Funhouse Family, Save the D8, Shifties. This awesome mind-twisting action from 7 to 11 p.m. Watch as the Funhouse family discusses the local art scene. See the Save the DA crew improv a D&D story that you'll never forget. And stare as the Shifties regale the masses with how tough it is to be in the workforce. Plus, all those with the best handmade name tags will win awesome prizes. Watch them all battle it out under one roof. Northwest Film Forum, July 30th from 7 to 11. We'll sell you the whole seat, but you'll only need the urge.